May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 300. How simple are thy children, Lord, unskilled in what they pray. Full oft they lift a hearty word, yet know not what they say. Hymn number 300.
Thank you. to the word of the Lord. Let's read together from the book of Psalms, Psalm 44. From the book of Psalms, Psalm 44. We have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days, in the times of old, how thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand and plantest them, how thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst a favour unto them. Thou art my King, O God. Command deliverances for Jacob. Through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But thou hast saved us from our enemies, and hast put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long, and praise thy name for ever, Selah. But thou hast cast us off, and put us to shame, and goest not forth with our armies. Thou makest us to turn back from the enemy, and they which hate us spoil for themselves. Thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat, and hast scattered us among the heathen. Thou sellest thy people for naught, and dost not increase thy wealth by their price. Thou makest us a reproach to our neighbours, a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. Thou makest us a byword among the heathen, a shaking of the head among the people. My confusion is continually before me, and the shame of my face hath covered me. For the voice of him that reproacheth and blasphemeth, by reason of the enemy and avenger. All this is come upon us, yet have we not forgotten thee, neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. Our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from thy way. Though thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons, and covered us with the shadow of death. If we have forgotten the name of our God, or stretcheth out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Yea, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off for ever. Wherefore hidest thou thy face, and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust, our belly cleaveth unto the earth. Arise for our help, and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. May the Lord bless that reading of his word of truth to us. Help us to call upon him in prayer. O Lord, thou hast favoured us in thy rich goodness and mercy. Bring us through the days, the hours of another week, a week that is now past, a week where we have seen thy gracious hand put forth towards us, preserving us, shielding us, protecting us, watching over us in all our paths, bringing us through the course of this week to another Lord's Day, now pilgrimage journey. O Lord, we do pray that we may each be enabled to bear testimony to thy faithfulness, to thy goodness, to thy promises, to thy people, that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, and O the great mercy, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And O Lord, is it not these blessings that have been ours in the week that is now past? A God who is faithful, a God all-sufficient, a God all-needful, a God always ready to come to the help and the need of thy poor afflicted people, a God who is always in the midst of them, a God whose eye is ever upon them, for the eyes of the Lord is upon the righteous. Oh, we do thank thee, Lord, for these mercies. Oh, may we not forget them, Lord. May we not forget either, Lord, that thou dost visit, that thou dost draw near to us, that thou dost confirm us again in faith and love to thy name. O Lord, these are our mercies. Help us to continue, Lord, and that we might this day be thankful that we are enabled to come to thy house of prayer and to worship at thy feet. O Lord, come and prepare each of our hearts. May we know the humbling grace of thy Spirit upon us, to keep us, Lord, in that low place, to give that a poor and contrite spirit, to bring us into thy presence, Lord, feeling a need of thee, a need of thy word. And oh, that thou wouldest come, Lord, and richly dwell in the midst of us, thy presence known and felt. Pour forth thy Spirit upon each one of us, and draw each of our hearts towards thee in true prayer, praise and worship, love and devotion to thy name. O Lord, we do need thy grace, Lord, to come upon us, or that we might be those indeed so favoured and blessed to be found at thy feet, to hear thy word, what thou wilt say unto our souls. O Lord, prepare us then, and that we might hear thy word and come to our case, come to our need as it may arise within each one of us at this time. Varying, differing are our needs, O Lord. O, but come forth in that fullness that is in thyself, all thy gracious offices and characters that thou dost hold, Lord. O, that thou art able, Lord, to come to each case and need, no case too far gone, that thou art not able, Lord, in thy rich mercy to come and draw near and to meet that case and that need. O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt hear those prayers that have been offered up to thee prior to the commencement of this service, as we came into the pews of thy house. Lord, what thou knowest about us each, Lord, we do pray that it may be that indicted through thy Spirit into the hearts of thy people, to tell thee all about those things needful to us. Lord, do come and visit each soul, Lord. And oh, may there be a word in season to encourage, to strengthen faith. Oh, may there be a word, Lord, of comfort and peace and joy to our souls. Lord, that joy and peace in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that where there is good news for sinners, oh Lord, is it sin that troubles our poor hearts? Is it that, Lord, that thou hast afflicted us with by and through thy Spirit? Then, Lord, we do pray that thou wilt come, Lord, that thou wilt show mercy, Lord. Bring the sinner to know and to feel the blessedness of that unspeakable gift of our God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only hope for sinners. O Lord, draw sinners to thyself by the cords of thy love. Or that thou wouldest, Lord, in thy rich mercy, grant the whole blessedness of the gospel. Good news, pardon and forgiveness for sinners. O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt appear then, Lord. We live in a dark and evil day, and Lord, thy name is not worshipped this day, Lord, and where it is worshipped in many places, Lord. In ignorance and in darkness. Lord, it was so in the days of the scribes, the Pharisees, the Jews at large. And, O Lord, the solemn truth that today, that, Lord, we do pray, help us to abide under that true faith of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that gospel that is able to change hearts, to renew sinners, to restore sinners, to give peace and pardon to sinners. O Lord, we do pray for the whole blessedness of Father, Son, and Spirit to be engaged, Lord, this day in that true worship of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that it may be here that that blessedness may be known and realized. A heavenly Father's love to a sinner. And that by and through the Holy Spirit, that that love may be revealed and made known in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we do pray that our faith may rest upon this sure, this certain foundation that has been laid for sinners in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. No other hope, Lord, for any poor sinner, but what Christ alone hath done, and in his rich mercy laid down his life to become a ransom for many sinners. Lord, do come, we pray thee then, this day, and appear, Lord, to each one of us, that not one of us shall be unconcerned or unmoved or become indifferent in respect of the gospel that is preached and in respect of Jesus Christ being the Saviour of sinners. And Lord, we do pray that each one here may have some hope, some expectation in their souls, that thou wilt in thy rich mercy come and pardon and forgive all sin. Thou knowest how that we pray, Lord, for the enlarging of thine inheritance. And, Lord, we do pray that thou wouldest, Lord, appear, change hearts, renew sinners, and may, Lord, it be a blessing to us this day, that we may hear again those who shall come forth professing the name of Jesus, forgiving and pardoning all their sins, that there may be a rejoicing over one sinner that repenteth again, we pray thee. So do come, Lord, and undertake for every one of us. We pray for our young friends, the children and the babes in arms, prayerfully committing each and every one into thine ever merciful hands, that thou wilt, Lord, in thy mercy, and we pray in divine appointments, oh, bring each, Lord, though now young in years, and the very visitation of them in thy house of prayer, oh, that it may be that, Lord, that thou wilt hold in favour towards them, that they might know, Lord, as they go forth, and that thou wilt, Lord, bless them, and show thy redeeming love and mercy to them. And we pray for these things, Lord. We pray for our children. We pray for our children's children. We pray for those whom we know and who are related to. We pray for those, Lord, with whom we have a deep concern, for their never dying immortal souls. And Lord, that thou wouldest, Lord, show mercy unto them. So Lord, do come. And we pray, Lord, that the gospel be preached this day, that it may have free course, that it may go forth, Lord, in this dark and evil day in which we live, that it might be that gospel indeed that shall find sinners out. And, O Lord, we do pray that where darkness covered the earth and gross darkness the people, oh, that there may be that glorious change, that renewing of sinners, we pray thee. But also, Lord, let thy gospel have free course. Let it be thy gospel this day that shall meet the needs of thy people, the tried, the afflicted, the tempted, the infirmed, those in disappointments, in sorrows, in bereavements. Lord, come, and in thy gospel, that thou wilt, Lord, strengthen them with all might by thy Spirit in the inner man, some word in season to their souls. Help them, Lord, to be still and to know that thou art God. And to help them, Lord, as we have sung together in our first hymn, that they might know that patient waiting upon the Lord in the time of trial and tribulation and affliction. And we do pray, Lord, that they may be comforted, that thou hast said that in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Oh, help them, Lord, to be of good cheer, for thine overruling hand is upon and towards each of thy dear people. And, Lord, thine eye of love is upon them, thine heart of love, and thy mercy towards them. O Lord, help them to be of good cheer. Thou hast overcome the world. O Lord, undertake for them, bear them up, carry them, support them. May they be those all things working together for good, to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. These things we pray for, Lord, and we pray for each of thy sent servants whom thou hast raised up upon the walls of Zion and sent forth into the ministry of the preaching of the gospel. Give them utterance, Lord, this day. Lord, be with them, Lord, and help them to enlarge upon the scriptures of truth. Help them to preach Christ and him crucified. Help them to preach the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them by thy Spirit thy word of truth, and, O Lord, open each heart to hear and to receive thy word. Lord, we pray for this thy house of prayer. Hear the prayers and the petitions that are offered up to thee, week by week in thy name. Draw near to them and all their needs, and thy servants, the deacons, Lord, and the authority over this place. Give them grace and wisdom, Lord, and those of the membership, Lord. Be with them, Lord, and we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt come to all the help and all the need of thy people here, and that there may be those also that shall be gathered in and unto them in true union and fellowship, in worship and devotion. Lord, help thy servant to speak in thy name. Give him mouth, matter and wisdom. And Lord, that thy servant shall decrease and Christ increase through the pulpit. O Lord, let thy servant be nothing, let Christ be all and everything, and to give thy servant something to say about thy word, Lord, about the blessedness of the gospel, Lord, and about, Lord, the truth of thy word to thy people, the scriptures of truth. Lord, do come to us then and help, and may thy word prosper whereto thou wilt send it. Pardon and forgive our every sin, and we ask these things in the name and person of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 747. How hard and rugged is the way to some poor pilgrim's feet, in all they do or think or say, they opposition meet. Hymn 747.
Thank you.
Holy Spirit will look down upon us in his rich mercy and draw our hearts and our minds to Psalm 44. Then we will read from verses 16, 17 and 18. Psalm 44, verses 16, 17, 18. For the voice of him that reproacheth and blasphemeth by reason of the enemy and avenger. All this is come upon us, yet have we not forgotten thee, neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. Our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from thy way. It is my desire to speak from these words this day and before you. And I do confess to this, that part of these words were a text that I took last Lord's Day, just in one service, one single service. But they have been resting upon my spirit all week, and I haven't been enabled to be removed from them. I do believe that it is a word to be brought before you here. And if the Lord will lead me into further truths that have come upon my spirit in respect of this word, may the Lord help us to hear them and to receive them. One truth in respect of the word of God is this, that the ministers from time to time have to bear with them the burden of the word of the Lord, just as the prophets did in old time. And I just name one who truly did have to bear the burden of the word of the Lord, and that was Jeremiah. He spake the truth, and yet there was so much of God's judgment, so many warnings, also exhortations and promises, and yet he had to bear the burden of the word of the Lord in preaching that word. Very few heard it and received it, was the solemn truth in respect of Jeremiah. But he had to preach it, and he got into a lot of trouble in respect of it. May the Lord help us to hear and to receive his word, even if it may be cutting to the heart. We have warnings in this psalm. We have exhortations. We have gracious words. Promises. And we pray that we may be helped to speak of them. In verse 22, Paul did take that word and applied it to the church at Rome, but to everyone who are of the Lord's dear people. Yea, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Dear friends, if Paul can take this word from the Psalms and apply it to the Gospels, then that is what we must do. It was a time of affliction, a time of trouble in the church. They were brought very low, very low. Very few followed the Lord, and there were many that rose up against the Lord. And if any rise up against the Lord, they rise up against his people. In all their afflictions, he was afflicted. Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, persecuted the church. And so he persecuted Jesus. See how very near Jesus is to his church and people. And see how very near they are to him. Oh, a union, dear friends, bound up in love and grace and mercy. A union, dear friends, that none can sever or break apart. Dear friends, the church, the body, are one in their head, Jesus. And so here, when trouble, trials, and when there are those that speak against the Lord and blaspheme, as in verse 16, yes, dear friends, what affects him, how they blaspheme his name, will affect the church in that same way. In the beginning of the psalm, they reflected. They were able to look back. Yes, we have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us how the Lord appeared, how he showed his gracious hand, his power and his might in deliverances, in mercies, the great things that God had done for his people. And they were always to hear a truth, always reminded that it was the Lord, his gracious and his mighty and outstretched arm, that delivered them and saved them and brought them out of Egyptian bondage. And they were to understand that in all their way and path. It had never to be forgotten. As it was a temporal deliverance to them, so a spiritual deliverance to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. A deliverance from the world, a bringing out, and it was by power of the Spirit. And that we can bear testimony of that that the Lord has done for us. Can we forget it, dear friends? Can we forget that dear dying man upon Calvary's tree? We may at times, dear friends, but in our softer moments, in our quieter moments, what a mercy it is that if the Lord will by his Spirit draw our poor souls to see our great deliverance and our great salvation through him that came to do so much for us. And now, dear friends, the church laid low, and the church here, such a remnant, just but a few. And this word in verse 16, but for the voice of him that reproacheth and blasphemeth by reason of the enemy and avenger. The church have always had enemies. And they've always had one great avenger, dear friends. Because when Jesus came and cast out that prince from within us, that prince of darkness, and cast him out, then, dear friends, he will strive, and with all his temptations, all his power, to bring that sinner back again to him, under his dominion, under his power, even Satan. And he is our adversary today. And very subtly at times, dear friends, very subtly and craftily, sometimes we might not be able to detect his works. Let us just consider one or two things in respect of this blasphemy of the Lord. For the voice of him that reproacheth and blasphemeth. Dear friends, it is in the whole of the earth, isn't it? It was in Scripture from the beginning of time. It will be to the end of time, where there will be those that have rose up to blaspheme the name of the Lord, to blaspheme, to speak against, dear friends, to oppose, to contradict, you see. And the children of Israel, so many times, dear friends, oh, they were those remembering the time when the spies were sent out into the land to espy the land which the Lord had promised to them. And they came back with an evil report. You see, believing that they could never go into that land, distrusting God, turning against him, that he is unable to take them in, blaspheming, contradicting his promise. And we know the truth of that, of the carcasses of those that died in the wilderness, how solemn to turn against the Lord. The time of Ahaz and Jezebel and the worshipping of Baal, and Elijah was sent amongst them to show who was the true and the living God. They turned their back upon him, and there was only but a remnant there. 7,000 souls who had not bowed the knee to Baal. That was a very small number, you know, dear friends. A very, very small number, even in that time. Elijah was sent forth. And you know how that he arranged that they should build an altar, and they should take the beast and sacrifice the beast, and God would and prove who was the true and the living God. And that the gods of Baal, dear friends, they could not ignite the sacrifice. Elijah cut up the beast, placed it upon the altar. Then he bid that water be poured on to the sacrifice and the wood. And then he said again, the second time. Then he said again, the third time, pour water on. And it ran round the basin of the sacrifice, the water. And then, dear friends, he prayed to the Lord. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. And the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the sacrifice, and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And the people saw it, fell on their faces. And this is the wonderment of the truth. And they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." What a mercy, dear friends, for any poor soul to speak a word as that. That the Lord, He is the God. Well, dear friends, a turning. But we can see how many had turned their back upon the Lord. It was the same in the day of Elijah. And when Hezekiah heard that blasphemy from Rabshakeh, and oh, the solemn truth in respect of that, dear friends, that blasphemy. And Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language, "Hear ye the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Do not hearken to Hezekiah. Do not hearken to Hezekiah's God." That was the truth, wasn't it? But Hezekiah took that letter into the house of the Lord and placed it before the Lord. And he prayed, "O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Incline thine ear, O Lord, hear. Open thine eyes, O Lord, and see and hear all the words of Sennacherib, which are sent to reproach the living God." Dear friends, for the voice of him that reproacheth and blasphemeth against our God. Let us be certain about this, dear friends. It would affect Hezekiah, that good king. It would affect the godlies and the faithful in the land at that time. Yes, this blaspheming of the name of the Lord, the reproach. And dear friends, the effect of it will be upon his dear people. For the voice of him that reproacheth and blasphemeth by reason of the enemy and avenger. And then, dear friends, we have this truth, that the preaching of the gospel, let us come into gospel times. No sooner had the gospel been preached and many hearts changed, as it was at the day of Pentecost. It was a day of rejoicing, a day where mercy was found by many, and a day, dear friends, where God showed forth his gracious hand in redemption's work. A precious Christ revealed, proclaimed, hearts changed and renewed. And no sooner that came about, dear friends, there were those that followed. Even at the infancy of the gospel that was preached, there were those that followed, that blasphemed, reproached. And the trouble that came upon the apostles, And Saul was one of them at that time. Wasn't he a blasphemer and injurious and a persecutor? Yes, dear friends, he was. The mercy with Paul was this, that I did it in ignorance, he said. For the voice of him that reproacheth and blasphemeth by reason of the enemy and avenger and the apostles were mistreated, imprisoned, and yes, some of them, they suffered for the name of Jesus and even martyrdom as Stephen. But this truth also, Paul writing to the church at Galatia, who hath bewitched you, that ye is so soon turned from the truth, and where Christ had been evidently set forth before them, crucified, you see. They'd received the testimony and the witness of a crucified Christ, and now ready because of these that will blaspheme. You know, remember, blaspheming is those that will turn about the word of God, and that is the gospel. A gospel which Paul said was not a gospel. Those that had come in, the deceivers, to turn back their hearts again. It was the same with the Hebrew Christians. They were persecuted, they were tried in respect of their faith and the gospel that they had received. And they were ready to apostatize. The sin that doth so easily beset us. Ready to turn back. The persecution was so great, because there were those that blasphemed, contradicted the word, the gospel. But let us come to the day in which our dear Lord Jesus came here upon the earth. Wasn't he one that was so blasphemed, despised, rejected, scorned, and mocked, derided? And you see, they saw him as a root out of a dry ground. They saw him as an impostor. They said that he cast out devils by the chief of the devils, even Beelzebub, blaspheming. Dear friends, what is the effect of this upon us? That dear name that brought salvation, who to lost, ruined, guilty sinners? You see, that glorious name. And so the effect, and this blasphemy, this reproach. The enemy and the avenger. Satan, dear friends, is in it all. See how they mocked him, see how they took him and crucified him, believing and thinking that they had done away with him for good. They would not have this man to reign over them, dear friends. Let us not utter such a word as that. The enemy and the avenger were be round about the Lord's dear people in all their path, always ready to resist them, always ready to catch their feet, dear friends, ready to lay a stumbling block, ready to turn the Lord's dear people out of the way, that narrow way. And yes, there are some, sadly, that has been the case. But let us see the church today. The professing church of this land. See what they're advocating. They haven't got the scriptures that we have. They haven't got the scriptures that we have. What is the scriptures that we have? It's the word of our God, dear friends, by and through the Spirit and the power of God. For this is the word that has been given to us. The most clearest, nearest, and most accurate translations given to us in the providence of God and by and through His Spirit, written by holy men of old time through His Spirit. Dear friends, this book has come from heaven. Make no mistake about that. But what book have they got in the professing church today? It's a book derived of man. And what does it discount? Why? To understand the Bible easier. To understand it in present modern day. What are they discounting? It's blasphemy, dear friends. The work of the Lord, the Holy Spirit. Isn't that true? The enemy and the avenger. How subtle. How crafty. And dear friends, the worship that is now set forth in the present church. And dear friends, the ordination of women, priests, and so it will come to pass. It will be here. They do deaconship. They take funerals. It's worship. It's blasphemy. It's in opposition to the word and truth of God. It opposes scripture, contradicts it. And many other such things. They have a prayer book, dear friends. And that is something else that discounts the Holy Spirit who doth inspire prayer. They have a prayer book. And then we have this truth, and it is with us today, both in government and also, dear friends, very solemnly, in the monarchy. Blasphemy. Bringing forth laws and ordinances that are contradictory to the word and truth of God. And you know what I mean. And very sadly, the monarchy, who now acknowledge all faiths. And dear friends, it's blasphemy, because there is only one true and living God. The Lord of hosts is His name. This God who created the heavens and the earth. This God who rules in supreme power and authority. This God alone who shall be worshipped by and through His dearly beloved Son. This God who spake all into being, but this God indeed who revealed Himself to sinners through the person of his dearly beloved Son. And can we not bear testimony to the truth that this God is our God for ever and ever? Because his work of grace is a witness and an evidence in our poor souls as of what God has done and wrought for us. That blasphemeth by reason of the enemy and the avenger. Dear friends, I hope and pray that there is none here that have got a television. If ever the name of our God is blasphemed worldwide, it is by and through that instrument. Very solemn, dear friends, to have one of those in the home. And I see it in this way. Many, even in our chapels, say, well, they've got control of the button. It's deeper than that, dear friends, deeper. They have to pay for a license. They have to pay a fee. And those that pay for a license, and even the great and elderly over the 70s who say they don't have to, the government pays for them, dear friends. Oh, make no mistake about that. Nothing is free, really. Those that have become of a certain age, then the government pays it. You know, they cannot do without their revenue. But those that purchase a license for a television, they're giving authority to the blasphemy of the name of the Lord, even though they may not hear it. It is blasphemed day in, day out, hour by hour, blasphemed the name of the Lord. And those that have bought a license, you have no control, no influence of the fee, of how it is used and how it is spent. Shall I tell you how it is spent? In the Jimmy Savills. These what they call the soap operas, the evil script writers, and the solemn truth of the actors and the actresses that are indulging in all the evil acts that are set forth there. And that is what the fee is going towards. And it's blasphemy, dear friends, because there is so much in it that is contradictory to the word of God, to the commandments of God, to the truth of God, to the worship of God, so much. And so those who will buy a TV license, very sadly, are encouraging this blasphemy. I have to speak this. Those things that are laid upon the heart, dear friends, in respect of this word. If the Lord will show me these things, I have to speak them, and I have to be faithful. I heard just recently, and I was pleased to hear it, because I do know that some of the Lord's people have got televisions. But I heard of one just recently that they've had to give theirs up We can rejoice over this, dear friends. It can become an idol. And the blasphemy and the evil that is in and upon it. And dear friends, God is not well pleased at all, because his name is blasphemed day in, day out, hour by hour. It is one of the greatest instruments of evil. And where the name and the word of our God is blasphemed, and it's by reason of the enemy and the avenger. And dear friends, the avenger of souls, he's got his agents. And all those instruments of evil and wickedness have all been devised out of wicked hearts. And they become enemies that oppose the church. Now the church, because of these things, in a low place, the name of the Lord is blasphemed. And it is here shown to us. And it has been through every generation of time, and it shall be to the end of time. Dear friends, let us look at it in this way. Let us be careful. There are those that are about us. There are those where we work. Dear friends, let us at all times seek to be free from it. We see it everywhere, everyday life. The blasphemy of the Lord, the desecration of this day, today. His name is blasphemed, and it is in all the worship, in all false teachers and false doctrine. And dear friends, see the error in the Roman Church, the blasphemy, the contradiction. And let us be further mindful to seek the Lord in that way that he has shown to us in the Scriptures, to worship him in that way that he has shown to us, and to serve him and to please him. And let us not lean to our own wisdom or so-called understanding in what we think will be pleasing to God. We will be making a mistake. There's so much of the flesh in religion today, and it is not consistent with the word of God and with our God. We may become reproached. We may be persecuted. Dear friends, let us bear it. Jesus has done so much for us, dear friends. He has delivered us. He has saved us. He has saved us from all this ruin. He has saved us from our own hearts. He has saved us from sin. And dear friends, all these were a curse upon us. An evil. Our deliverance has been a great deliverance. Let us suffer reproach. Let us see what blessings belong to the church Jesus said, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day." And this is what the psalmist now is looking to. He's looking to those things that have been done and wrought for him. In the following words of our text, "Rejoice in that day and leap for joy under reproaches, under sufferings and persecutions for the name and for the sake of Jesus. Behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets," which we have spoken a little of. And remember the church that Peter wrote to, the scattered strangers. Remember them. They were persecuted, thrust as it were out of their homes. They were scattered about. No rest, no peace, no comfort. It would be to the trying of their faith. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you." Dear friends, suffer for his name's sake. What a mercy it is to know that difference, to know that real change that grace has done. All this is come upon us, and it is upon us today. The church today are in a low place, and they are few in number. How can Jacob arise? You see, poor Jacob. So many enemies, so many that contend against him. Well, dear friend, we've got one to whom we can consider. All this has come upon us, all this affliction, all this trouble. Do you experience it, perhaps, in some part of your lives, somewhere? And our younger friends that now are going forth into different ways and perhaps more into the world than they've ever been before, beware, dear friends, this blasphemy and this reproach. It will be in your path if you hold to Christ, if you hold to his name, if you profess his name. You will suffer reproach. But, dear friends, a blessing rests upon thee. Yes, greater is he that dwelleth in you, dear friends. Yes, it is he that has overcome the world, even our faith that has overcome the world. It's in Jesus. All this has come upon us. Are they working for good, dear friends, these things? Do they work for good towards us? All things working together for good? Why, dear friends, we may suffer this blasphemy and this reproach, but greater, as I have read what Jesus said and Peter, greater, happy are ye. Why, we've got something, dear friends, that can never be removed from us, but that something inlaid in our poor hearts that will take us beyond all these earthly things and to heaven. All this has come upon us, and as it is today, yet have we not forgotten thee. Oh, dear friends, yet have we not forgotten thee. I believe this to have reference to our God. We may just see here, we have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days, in the times of old, as he worked in thy poor soul. God, unknowable and unapproachable, how is it that we can bear the name of our God and know that he is our God? It is through Jesus. I just think of that word in Psalm 95 and I think Psalm 100. But this is the mercy, that we have not forgotten thee. We have not forgotten what thou hast done and wrought for us. We have not forgotten that we have gained. I thought of this word in when John was writing to the elect lady. And we must consider that everything, speaking of this blasphemy and this reproach, isn't it Antichrist? Everything, dear friends, everything is Antichrist. If it's not of the word of our God, it is Antichrist. In the second epistle of John, verse 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an Antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. And in the marginal rendering of that word, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, it means this: ye have gained. Dear friends, it's not that we have wrought anything, but it's what we have gained. It is what grace has done for us. You see, grace that changed us. And it is that sovereign, that free grace, that free love of God. And the psalmist could not forget that. And neither were we, dear friends. It came unto us in a most undeserving way. He says this truth: for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. What a wonderful word that is. How was it done and wrought, dear friends? What have we gained? The sheep of his pasture. Isn't Jesus the shepherd? And what did Jesus say? The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And that is where we're the sheep of his pasture. It's what grace has done and wrought in us, changed us, showed to us our need as sinners. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. Did we bring ourselves to God? Did we desire him? Did we seek him? Did we love him? Did we run after him? There was nothing in us so to do it, dear friends, nothing. We were in the world. Our hearts and concerns were in the world. Our desires were there. Our lives were there. but he found us. And he showed to us the solemn truth and position what we were in. We shall have to continue a little later, but this truth. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Yet have we not forgotten thee. Amen.
Last Lord's Day were £685, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Ince will administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. There'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Izzard. Mr. James Pack is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Richard Field next Lord's Day, and we hope that he will address the Sunday School in the afternoon. The collections next Lord's Day will be for Christian Concern. Let us close with part of hymn number 305. I'll read the first two verses and we'll commence at verse 5. The souls that would to Jesus press must fix this firm and sure, that tribulation more or less they must and shall endure. From this there can be none exempt. 'Tis God's own wise decree. Satan the weakest saint will tempt, nor is the strongest free. Hymn 305, verse 5.
thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God, the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and for ever. Amen.